Oh, well, I love it when our musician gives my talk for me. And thank you, Nyambus, for that gorgeous song, God Is. God Is Everywhere. God Is. God just is. Yes, that's so true. And as I approached this topic of receiving and listening and allowing that divine nature to express in and through and as my life, I focused on the phrase everyday mystics, because in Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes defined a mystic as one who had direct revelation from God. And that is such a powerful idea, that revelation didn't just happen in the past and didn't just happen to extraordinary people one at a time, Rumi and Buddha and Jesus and other great teachers. God is accessible now to everyone. And that accessibility is what I mean by everyday mystics. This can be our everyday life. It's not something special or different. It is extraordinary. It's always extraordinary, but it is ordinary in the sense that it can be a phrase somebody used about reading my book was, the beloved was fun, friendly, and familiar. And that's what God is to me. God is fun, friendly, and familiar. And to be able to hear that message, I write it. When I wrote my books, I wrote both sides of the conversation, and a lot of what I'm sharing today is from the third book. The last time I spoke about perception, and I realized I'd written a book about perception. My second book was about perception. My third book is about allowing. And specifically, the phrase that Beloved uses is soft willingness. And that phrase is used 49 times in my third book. So I thought, oh yeah, I wrote a book about this subject too. And so we're going to talk about willingness. David Hawkins in Power Versus Force says, willingness is the key to all higher consciousness. Until you say yes, nothing happens. You know, it's all there all the time. It isn't that we're creating something that isn't there. It's that we're tuning into something that's already there. But we have to be willing. We have to allow it. And the way to allow it is just to relax and breathe and listen. And when I thought about that listening, I realized that there was something I wanted to share about the listening part, because I used to teach a class on mysticism, and I had a handout in the class that I developed that I thought was particularly meaningful, and so I brought it for you today. The fact is that all mystics aren't listening. Some mystics are hearing, they're auditory mystics. Some mystics are seeing, they're visual mystics. Some mystics are feeling, they're kinesthetic mystics. Just as we learn on the outside in life in different ways, we connect to source in different ways. So some people who are auditory hear. David plays the piano, and he plays for Evensong every time. Once a month we do an Evensong service in Falls Church. And when I first heard him play, I was blown away, because he never plays the same thing twice. But he doesn't read music, and he doesn't have other people's songs in his head. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, there is only... there is only one song, and I've been hearing it since I was 4 years old. So David's an auditory mystic. And when I first started, I was a visual mystic. I was seeing visions. And what I've learned from teaching classes on mysticism is that people who hear want to see, and people who see want to feel, and people who feel want to hear. And it's each of us has a gift, and there's a beautiful song. I learned it from Elaine Silva. She didn't write it. I can't remember the name of the woman who wrote it. But it's called Swimming to the Other Side. It's about life till we get to the end. And in there's a line that says, when we get there, we'll discover all of the gifts we've been given to share have been with us since life's beginning, but we never noticed they were there. And my answer to that is always, not if I can help it. I am going to amplify that presence of the gifts for everyone I meet in any way I can for my whole life. But the thing is that the things that are intrinsic to us, that are easy, are so familiar that we don't value them. You know, we hear, but we don't value the hearing because that's what we do. We've never known us not to do it, and we don't honor it. I saw visions, but I didn't value the visions until I started writing them down. And when I started writing them down, I realized they were meaningful. I was seeing a symbol or something, and if I would meditate on that symbol, I would understand what the message was. I couldn't hear the message, but I could see it. And in my seeing of it, I could learn to understand it. I could open to receive the meaning, to feel that understanding. And so it was in the honoring of the seeing that I learned to hear and translate those messages into words that I could then understand and know. Some people just have knowing. I've seen people, my husband Cliff, he was intuitive about troubleshooting computer programs. And he could go in and find a problem that was embedded in tens of thousands of lines of code. And he would know where it was. He would know where to look. And he said sometimes it would take him a while to figure out how to explain and fix what was broken. But he intuitively knew what was broken. That's connection to source. Brian and David both fix things. They know how to fix something. They are guided in their troubleshooting to fix something. Each of us has our own way to connect to that divine nature. Every time we love something, we are connecting to our divine nature and letting it flow out into the world. We're shining our love into the world. There are hundreds of ways that we connect to source. And we just don't acknowledge them. We just don't say, oh, yeah, I had that impulse to do something that worked out. I was connected to source. I was doing it. We don't acknowledge that aspect of ourselves a lot of the time. And as we begin to become aware, to acknowledge that guidance, that impulse, Abraham said, become more impulsive. I love that. If you get the feeling that something would be good to do, just do it. Don't think about it, justify it, try to explain it to three people. Mm-hmm. Just do it and see what happens. And when you discover that you just do it, you notice that good things are happening. And I learned when I was a kid that if I got some guidance and I didn't do it, sometimes bad things would happen. But sometimes when you get an impulse to do something positive, you don't do it, you never get any feedback. You don't really know what you missed. But if you feel good and you get this impulse, and you go for it, then something wonderful just appears in your life. And I don't know why I'm going to tell this story, because it's, I don't know if it's meaningful for anything, but as I was driving over here, I saw a squirrel that crossed the left side, and it was in the median strip, and there were cars coming in both directions, and I said, oh, buddy, stay there. Hang out there for a little while before you make your break. And two cars, I went by, and another car went by, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and the squirrel made a break and just made it between that car and the car that was coming behind him. That squirrel had the impulse to go at the perfect time. And maybe I helped a little on the way, I don't know. But that impulse to move, sometimes you just got to go. And I don't know about you, but I used to second guess those impulses and wait on them. And then I might do them, but it doesn't have the same effect or impact if you create the time lag. And you think it through. Sometimes you just gotta go. I remember one night, I have a lot of interactions with animals because I love animals, and I was at the creek walk that I go on sometimes, and I just had this impulse to go when it was time to go, and I hopped in the car, and it was late in the afternoon. It's going to get dark soon, but I just knew I had to go. And as I walked along, I was almost running. I just had this sense that I needed to hurry, and I thought it was kind of related to the fact that it was getting dark. But I got to the third creek crossing, and there on a stone in the middle of the creek was a fox. And it was like he was waiting for me. And it's like he looked at his watch and said, about time you got here. And then I knew why I had that impulse to rush. And I was so glad that I had followed it. The energy is always there. We are always being guided. There is never a moment when the guidance isn't there. The question is, are we receiving it? You might receive it as a gut feeling. You might receive it as a little message. You might receive it as the words of a song going in through your head are often very inspiring to me. In the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden, I start hearing a song. And I actually told this story to somebody this week. Years ago, I was in a pool with dolphins, and I was going to go swim with dolphins, and David was there. We took a bus to this place that had you swim with dolphins, and while I was in the bus, I started hearing the song in my head, "You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God." And I couldn't get it out of my head. I kept singing it over and over again in my head. So as I was looking out the windows of the bus, I was singing that song to everything I looked at, every person, everything, a horse, a palm tree, an airplane, the cars going by, people waiting at the bus stop. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. And when I got to the pool, they put earphones on us, and they gave us a lecture about how to handle the dolphins, touch, pet them. They're trained dolphins in a pool. And when I got in the water to see the dolphins, they said there's two dolphins for each group of six people. But my group actually had four dolphins, because it was a mother dolphin and a baby dolphin and a pregnant dolphin. And they said, pet the dolphins, because they will roll over and want you to pet their bellies. Mm-hmm. And they like it. It feels good to them. And if you don't pet them, they'll go to somebody else. They want to be petted. So this dolphin came over to me, and as she came over to me, she rolled over on her back, and her belly was exposed. And I started to pet her, and I suddenly heard the song. And I started to hum the song. Mm-hmm. And in the moment I started to hum the song, she turned straight upright and came eye to eye with me, her one eye to my two. And I sang the song to her twice through. And then she turned back over and said, pet me, pet me. It was such an extraordinary experience. And that was an experience of connection to Source, because I began to meditate on that experience. And I thought, what was that? And the first time I meditated on that experience, I got that that's the message the dolphins want to tell us. They are telling us, you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. That's what they were telling us. The second time I thought about it in my meditation, I realized that the gift the dolphins gave me was the opportunity for the rest of my life to tell that story to other people. Because most people that I meet offhand don't want to hear that they are the face of God necessarily, but they want to hear a story about dolphins. And they're willing to hear it from the dolphins, even if they aren't willing to hear it from me. And when David and I talked about it afterwards, he had been taking pictures. And this dolphin that wasn't even involved in the training went to where he was and posed for him. And did leaps and jumps and carried on just because he was there with a camera, and the dolphin came and played with him. And I got it, that those dolphins are like missionaries. They're here to tell us what's what. They're here to let us know that we are the face of God, that we are all one, that life is all one. It is splendid and amazing what we are and who we are. So let me talk to you from the bee perspective, the Beloved. My books are all about my conversations with the Beloved, and in them I say C for what I'm saying and B for what they are saying, so I call them B for short. And this is a conversation with the Beloved from May of 2010. And I started and said, a friend asked what it takes to invite you in, Beloved. Is there a special way people can take to do that? I was really grateful to find that, because that was the topic for today. So I had a reading that was exactly like the topic for today. Right on. Yes, a friend asked what it takes to invite you in. Is there a special way people can take to do that? And B said, a special way? You make it sound like you want us to outline a path for people to take. It's much simpler than that. Willingness is an invitation. You were in the process of ever deepening connection with us for 20 years. Does that seem true to you? I said, yes, I knew you were there, and sometimes I felt you so clearly and deeply. But it didn't feel like a personal relationship until I read about the potential for a fully realized relationship in the book The Shack by William Paul Young, and suddenly wanted a relationship like that for myself. I never imagined moment-to-moment familiar intimacy with the divine before I read that book. As my friend Kathy said, she wanted to know what Mac's relationship with God became after the book ended. She wanted the story to continue for him. I just realized that part of the brilliance of that book is that it does not answer that question. I was inspired to ask, I wonder what a relationship like that would be like for me. Then I wandered over here to see. That's the invitation, B. I wonder is an invitation. B said, I wonder expresses a soft willingness to explore. I said, soft willingness, what a sweet phrase. I love the feel of it. Just a gentle opening to possibility. B said, we can do so much more for you if you approach life with a soft willingness. A soft willingness. So for days after that, I kept thinking about this phrase, soft willingness, and telling people about this phrase. And the next day, I said, "Good morning, Bea, I love you. I woke up early this morning and I've been musing on willingness. I keep repeating to myself that phrase, soft willingness. All it takes to open the door to a relationship with you is soft willingness." They said, "All it takes to open the door to everything you want is soft willingness." I said, "That's another idea that seems almost too good to be true, Bea." They said, "We're glad you said almost. That's soft willingness right there. You are building room for hope in your language." And they went on to talk about the idea that we build room for hope with our language when we say, "That hasn't happened," and then add the word "yet." When we say "yet," it adds room for hope. When we say "that hasn't happened," we close the door. But we say "that hasn't happened yet," then we are expressing our soft willingness for things to be different, for things to change. And then I talked to Bea the following day about receptivity. And I quoted Ernest Holmes. I said, "Ernest Holmes was describing receptivity to the divine in his book, Can We Talk to God?" And Bea interrupted and said, "Yes, the answer is yes. You can talk to God and receive an answer. You can. You are." And we laughed. I said, "I love you, Bea. Of course we can. And of course I am. I love that you so often interrupt and go off into silliness." They said, "You talked before about breaking for love. We want to also encourage you to break for humor, silliness, and joy." And they said, "We love you being light-hearted and easily amused." I said, "Me too." They said, "You are demonstrating your receptivity to the impulse to play. We love that you have relaxed into a greater willingness to play." I said, "I love to play." I said, "Here's the quote that I referred to earlier from Ernest Holmes. A quiet expectation, a joyful anticipation, the calm recognition that all the peace there is and all the power there is and all the good there is love, the living spirit almighty." Isn't that beautiful? I'll read it again. A quiet expectation, a joyful anticipation, the calm recognition that all the peace there is and all the power there is and all the good there is love, the living spirit almighty. I said, "I can feel you in that quote, Bea. He's describing soft willingness beautifully. And I love that there is a deep sense of awe and reverence in his writing, too. I love feeling awe and reverence. There are so many different flavors of joy. I love exploring them with you. When I feel joy with you, I have more joy to take into my world." Bea said, "When you're feeling any of the flavors of joy, you are receptive. Awe, reverence, contentment, ease, bliss, wonder, silliness, freedom. They're all frequencies that are a match to us and to the flow of well-being we provide. It's not a narrow bandwidth. It's a wide, happy band." I saw a wide, happy band at Reston Town Center last night doing calypso music. They were a wide, happy band. And so as I've been meditating on this subject, the first thing that came to me is, how do you listen for connection to source? You gotta want it. And one time, the beloved said to me, "You don't talk to us not because you're afraid we won't answer. You're afraid we will answer." And that scares the willies out of you. You're afraid we will answer. And you're afraid that people will call you crazy. And so it's about allowing. It's about allowing. And a couple of days after those readings, I talked to B about allowing. I said, I read a quote from Abraham Hicks this morning. We would like you to release the word achieve or earn from your vocabulary, and we would like you to replace those words with the word allow. You want to allow your well-being, not achieve it. It's not something you need to earn. All you have to do is to decide what it is you would like to experience and then allow it in order to achieve it. It isn't something you have to struggle for or try for. You are all worthy beings. You are deserving of well-being. It seems to go with what we've been saying about soft willingness, B. Is life really about allowing? Sure is, C, they said. We are arranging an ideal stream of well-being for you all day, every day. The biggest factor is your ability to see it or not. When you are open, relaxed, and tuned to love, you see it so much more. When you are frightened, angry, or defensive, your opportunities constrict. When you are happy, peaceful, and joyful, your opportunities expand. I said, I love expanding opportunities. I love feeling happy. I love being friendly to the lifeguards this year. This year I will be available as a friend for them if they want one. And that's the lifeguards at the pool at my subdivision. And B said, that's a lovely soft willingness. You are allowing them to choose too. You are practicing unconditional love and respect for their free will. I said, I'm being like you, B. Oh, I love being like you. I never thought of the way you treat me as soft willingness before. That's very cool. Allowing is unconditional love. I never thought of it that way before. It's staying connected to love under all conditions. It's funny, Bea, I already knew that, but it feels somehow different. Inspiring, but more reachable. Always before, it seemed like a distant goal. Now it seems more doable. I can be unconditionally loving. The energy of this beautiful love, this beautiful world that we live in, is well-being. There is always well-being. And a month after that, still riffing on the subject of soft willingness, I said to B, how do we get from a universe of lack to a universe of plenty? And they said, soft willingness. I said, that brought tears to my eyes, B. Can it really be that easy? And they said, when you invite us in, you leverage your life. You open your heart, your mind, and your eyes to all the good that is here, all the love that is available to you. I said, I'm willing to live in an abundant universe. I'm willing to feel more the infinite love that's ever available. I'm willing to relax into well-being, to love my life, to touch with tenderness. I'm willing to talk about it, tell stories about it, listen for it in other people's stories. I'm willing to make conscious decisions to carry love and tenderness everywhere I go. I'm willing to see and cherish the preciousness of life. I'm willing. And so I have these experiences because I'm willing. And I printed 19 pages. We don't have time for 19 pages. But what I will do is ask David to put up the notes from this talk with all of those pages on the website with a recording of this talk, so that you can read it if you want to, because I haven't published the third book that this came from. And so I want to make it available because I'm willing to share it. And I love having this experience with all of you to share it. And I love that Gail asked me to share it because, as Nyamba said, that she's happy to be here. She was invited to share. And it's such a gift to be invited to share. It's such a gift. And so as we invite each other to share the connection that we have in whatever way we can do it, to share the love, to share the light, to share the peace, to share the music, to share the knowing, to share the beingness. We are so blessed, and we are increasingly knowing it. When I was in practitioner training, at the end of every class, we would get in a huddle, a group hug, and we would say, "We are so blessed, and we know it." And we do. We know it. And the more we know it, the more we see it, the more we live it, the more life can give to us, the more receptive we are. And the key to it all, soft willingness. Thank you. Woo. Thank you.